Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
The Recessing Podcast with yours truly, Jeezy, is a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. This is Jeezy, Grammy-nominated urban philosopher, philanthropist, and entrepreneur, and this is my show, The Recessing Podcast. For years, I used my music to highlight the struggles and issues facing this country, the economy, politics, protests, mental health, and more. And now, strong voices are more important than ever before. On this show, I will speak to powerful people from all walks of life to have real conversations about change, perseverance, and hope. And each episode will feature a sample of a song from my new album, The Recession 2. So without further ado, let's begin The Recession Podcast. Let's get it. Today's conversation is with Byron Allen. He started off as a comedian and transformed into a media mogul, television producer, and founder of Entertainment Studios. Byron is an advocate for economic inclusiveness, especially in the black community. His work reminds me of one of my latest songs, The Almighty Black Dollar. Here's my conversation with Byron Allen on the Recession Podcast, right here with yours truly, Jeezy. Let's get it.
All this Fendi and Gucci is goofy. LV Council, you tell them to sue. Rolex, AP, ain't shit, y'all follow. Need that, need us, almighty, black dollar, black dollar. Fuck them bottles, ain't puff, it ain't chase. Ciroc, Deuce, Bel Air, let's get paid. Rolls Royce, Bentley, ain't shit, y'all follow. Need that, need us, almighty, black dollar.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, it's so good to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we had to get you on this podcast, man, because it seems like you're doing some really big things when it comes to media out there. For me, you know, just coming from where we come from, I'm watching what you do, and it's a unique space for somebody that can come from Detroit, move to Los Angeles, and carve this thing out for yourself. And you know, I'm reading that you was a comedian first, so I'm trying to put that with how did you, you know, pivot into the entrepreneur space, because it's two different worlds.
Yeah. You know, I learned early on it's business show, not show business.
Mm. Like, hold up one more time. Business show.
Not show business. Not,
and I like that.
You want to learn the business part. And when you learn the business part, you can do as many shows as you would like.
Whoa.
And I think a lot of people, they approach it differently. They approach it as show business,
Right.
And they want to shine and they want the bling. And for me, it's not about the shine. It's not about the bling. It's about the business. And if you,
right.
you approach it from a business point of view, you will have all the shine you want and all the bling you want. I don't happen to be into that.
Right.
I don't even have a watch.
You know? Really? you look at your phone to tell the time?
My phone tells me the time. And
yeah, it's all the same.
It's all the same. And, I can only use one car, and my car is an SUV, so I can get my kids to school. I got an SUV so I can drive my kids to school and I have any diamonds. And
I love it.
I'm not interested in a collection of cars, you know.
Right.
I tell you, a friend of mine, you have friends who collect cars. And I said, look, I don't collect cars. I collect real estate.
Wow. Hey, listen, I'm right there. I love that. Right. That's another quotable right there.
Yeah, real estate, cars and all that other stuff that goes down in value. You know,
depreciating.
Yeah, I want young people out here to be fascinated by your real estate and not your bling, because the bling is temporary and then it will go away. I was just very fortunate. You know, I've always thought that way and saw it that way. You know, I learned not to do anything other people were trying to quit. So
you learned not to do
anything. I never picked up the habits that other people were trying to quit.
Right. So if it was smoking, you wouldn't doing
the
smoking. If it
smoking.
Was
I never
overspending.
Started smoking. I never started drinking alcohol. I never started doing drugs. And so I was really fortunate that I didn't develop those habits.
What do you think that came from?
I just was really, I was fortunate that I noticed other people were having problems with their smoking, with their alcohol, and with their drugs. And I just said, life is challenging enough.
Right.
Life is tough enough.
Right.
And I learned early on that you have to make sure you don't do anything to make it more difficult for yourself.
Well, I feel better because I came up in an era where I learned from my uncle's mistakes, people in my neighborhood that was a little older than me. I was like, I don't feel like I want to do that. And as I started to evolve, I felt kind of crazy because it was like I would tell people things like that. I'd be like, yo, I don't really, you know, even being an artist and that being a part of the mystique, I used to be like, yo, I'd rather buy some builders. And I used to tell my son all the time, it's like, yo, I'd rather go buy these buildings and have this real estate. And he look at me and be like, Dad, but everybody knows you for that. And I'm just like, nah. And you know, it's crazy because I hear you talk about that with so much confidence and so much certainty. And I want everybody out there listening, because when I was making those decisions to make those changes, I felt like I was by myself, you know, like part of the cool crowd. And it was hard because I was used to being the cool guy. And when I was like, you know what, you know, I want to back down, you know, from this, and I don't want to spend unnecessary money on that. And I'd rather, you know, take my money and travel and see the world rather than, you know, just to mess it off here and there. And when I started making those changes, it was hard because that's all I knew. But I also felt like I was, you know, being kind of like put on the outskirts of what was going on as far as the culture, because it's like that's what they know. So my thing is like, that certainty you had, like, where did it come from? Like, cause it sounds like you knew this coming out the box. Like, this is not nothing you had to think about. You're like, you know what? I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking, and I'm not overspending. Nah. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I'm not doing the drugs. You know,
right.
It's really about wanting to unleash your greatness. And you
love
can't
that.
Unleash your greatness if you're doing things to deter you. And my friends were the entire spectrum from A to Z. And it's great because you really get to know one another. And it was really a key background for me to be from a very integrated community and a very integrated neighborhood. And I got to learn a lot from a lot of different folks and a lot of different cultures. And I was really fortunate to have that exposure. And I got to see a lot of perspectives and a lot of goodness being raised in such a strong, integrated, diverse community. You know, I am a firm believer that greatness does come from diversity. You know, when I even think about the civil rights movement, right? I think about the civil rights movement and that, listen, as Black people, that was not done alone. The civil rights movement.
It took outside.
It took a lot of support from good white people, a lot of great Jewish people. I mean, I think, quite frankly, I think the Black community owes the Jewish community a huge debt of gratitude because of how much the Jewish community leaned in during the civil rights movement.
Wow. This is something I never known that.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jewish community was with the Black community in a huge way and has been since day one in terms of civil rights. And there's a photo that hangs in my office where, because Martin Luther King asked for all of the religious leaders to go with him across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And there's that bridge where the rabbi is standing right next to him. And we owe a huge debt to a lot of folks and a lot of cultures who have really stood by us and fought for us and fought with us, whether it was in the streets or in the schoolroom, the boardroom. And that has been the entire spectrum from, you know, from white, Jewish to name it. We didn't do it by ourselves, and you can't do anything by yourself. You need friends. You need extended family. You need allies, and you need it in your everyday life. And I've always said, you know, it's important that you love and embrace everybody and you expand it out, because that's how you're going to have your greatest success.
It's crazy you said that, the diversity, because the first thing I thought about when you said that, the diversity in your neighborhood, and it just gave you an open mind. Even in my personal life, you know, I came from, you know, humble beginnings. I did grow up in the hood. I went through that whole thing. But by chance, my father was in the military. So off and on, I was able to move out of the neighborhood and go with my father for periods of time. And one of my trips I can recall was when I went and lived with my father in Japan. And it opened me up to so much culture and just how the world worked. And I mean, I did everything from like, and people don't even know that about me. Like I'm a professional with chopsticks. Like you know what I'm saying? Like you can't tell me nothing about sushi that I don't know, but I pride myself on being open-minded because of that once in a lifetime experience that I got to see what a whole nother culture lived like. And that just opened me up to just research other cultures and understand how other people move and get some a little bit from here, a little bit from there. And I think that's why I was able to, you know, go farther than the norm, because I knew there was another world out there. So I definitely agree with you that you need, you know, more than just your surroundings. You need other people. So that diversity definitely put me in a different space in life. So I definitely feel you.
You got to open up your world, and you got to really like know and embrace folks and learn from folks. And, there was a book that was written, you know, let's just talk about racism and let's just talk about unique experiences and how closely we are aligned and how we are as Black people, how we are closely aligned with the Jewish community and how the Jewish community is a major supporter of the Black community, and we must be the same of the Jewish community.
Okay.
I'll give you a great example. There was a book written in 1916 called The Passage of the Great Race. In 1916, this book was written. And it was written by a young, wealthy, well-educated young white man named Madison Grant. And Madison Grant wrote this book, and he didn't like the immigration that he was seeing in New York. He was living in New York, and he went to a very an Ivy League law school, and he was a lawyer. And this was an educated young man, and he wrote this book, and he did not like the immigration he was seeing in Manhattan. And he wrote a book, and the book was The Passage of the Great Race, and it was basically keep America white and pure. Mm. Keep America white and pure, and stop the immigration of folks out of Europe into this country. And this book took off. And this young man, this young man read this book and said, this book is my Bible, was his quote. Like, this book is basically, he was saying, the greatest book he had ever read. And this young man said, this book is my Bible. And that young man was Adolf Hitler.
Wow. That's deep.
Okay, 1916, that young man was Adolf Hitler. So not only did America create this racism, we perfected this racism and exported it all the way to Europe. Unfortunately, it came back as the Holocaust.
Wow.
Okay? Written by a young white man in America. Okay? So Hitler gave an interview to the New York Times. And Hitler said to the New York Times, paraphrasing, "I don't understand why, you know, America's giving me so much attitude," basically, is what he was saying.
Right.
He said, "Everything I learned about immigration control, I learned from America."
Wow.
And he thought America was going to partner with him to conquer the world. And that's why he read that book and thought this was his connection to America. Let me tell you how closely we are aligned with the Jewish community and the trials and tribulations. Hitler sent his Nazi lawyers to America and said, "Study the Jim Crow laws that they're using on the Negroes in America and bring them back and use them on the Jews."
Wow. That's deep.
So when I say to you that the Jewish community is our family, that's our family.
Wow, that's deep. You just opened my eyes. Okay. You just opened my eyes.
When I say to you, that's our family.
Right.
That's our family.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it. I get it.
That's not, that's family. That's our, right. Those are our brothers and our sisters.
I get it. I totally get it.
That's how closely, like, the passage of the great race. Okay. And Hitler sent his people over and said, "What you doing to the Negroes? Drop it over here." And
wow.
their journey, very similar to ours.
Right, right.
And so when I say, as far as we are concerned, as Black people, we owe them a huge debt of gratitude. And you're not my friend. You are family. And together, we will work together in partnership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will eradicate the racism, and we will eradicate the anti-Semitism. We will eradicate the hatred, because the moment we become, we stop being tribes, because right now we're kind of tribes and everybody's
right.
practicing their tribalism.
Right, right, right.
And the moment we get rid of the tribalism and we become one, and we make the tribe the human race, and we become one human race as a tribe, that's the tribe, the human tribe, is the moment we accomplish a slice of heaven right here on earth.
Slice of heaven.
Right here on
right
earth.
Right here on earth.
When we become one human tribe.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
I totally agree with you there because I personally think it's the lack of knowledge and a lack of information. Because listening to you talk, like I said again, clarity, you have clarity on history.
Mm-hmm.
I think with us, and as you can see, what just happened over the last 4 months, when we was out here marching and fighting for our lives and fighting to breathe and you know, everything that we just went through 4 months ago, if you look now, it's pretty much, you know, people have looked past that and they moved on with their lives. So imagine not being educated on what really happened in the Holocaust to understand. You know, it's the lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And even with you telling me this, I love that because that's what it's about, being a leader. And I can tell that's what you really are, for you to spend your time talking about this, is that we have to get the information out to other leaders so that they can educate people and give them knowledge, because that's the problem. The separation is we don't have enough knowledge about each other. If you go back to the history books, even in school with us, I don't even know. Like, when all this stuff started happening, I felt the same to myself because I didn't even know enough about Black history to understand. All I knew was Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and whatever they taught me in school. And that was, you know, maybe 60 pages out of a whole book. And you only knew Christopher Columbus and what they wanted to teach you. So when everything started happening, I went back and started looking at all these different documentaries, you know, the Name of a Slave and all these different things. And it was just like, I didn't know we was on the money. We was actually on the money. Like, we was the currency.
Right.
I didn't know that slaves would be bought and sold. And then when they was able to be free, that somebody can come and say, hey, you did something wrong, or you broke the law, and now you owe me a fine of, you know, $200, but you're never going to be able to pay this off. So now you got to be my slave.
That's right.
So all these things. And as a Black man, I kind of felt it was mind blowing because I'm like, I don't know all this stuff. So when I sit here and listen to you talk about us being one tribe, I personally think deep down in my heart is because we don't have the information and the knowledge about each other's background and each other's history. Because when I think about the Holocaust and what they went through, it's a lot similar. A lot of Jewish people died. You know, their belongings were took. They were put in concentration camps. And you can't tell the average person out here that's walking around these are the things that happened, because they looking at it like, you know, we've been through the most. They're killing us in the street. But that's been 3 months ago. Now, ask somebody what happened 10 years ago to us and 20 years ago to us and 100 years. They cannot tell you. because we don't have the knowledge. It's crazy.
You have to have that, and you have to understand where it's coming from. And a lot of it is pure hatred and it's tribalism. And you can start to see the pattern, the rhythms. You know, I call it the four D's. Whether it's Black people or Jewish people, you see the four D's they put on you, where they dismiss you.
Dismiss.
They just dismiss you, and then they dismiss you, and you get a little upset about that. Then they discredit you.
Discredit.
And then they move on to that third D, which they have to move on to get right with their so-called Christian selves. They demonize you.
Demonize. I knew you was gonna say that.
You know, Nazi Germany demonized the Jewish faith and the Jewish people, and how America demonizes Black America.
Wow.
And once they get to that demonization, that then they can move on to that fourth and inevitable D, they destroy you.
Wow.
And they have to go through that process.
Wow.
They dismiss you, they discredit you, they demonize
you, and then they destroy you.
And they have to demonize you to get right with their so-called Christian selves.
Is that why? I mean, I'm just asking because I'm curious, because you opened my ears up here. Like, when I go through Jewish communities and I drive through and I see how they're set up, it seems like to me they're a tight-knit family. They stick together. They don't really let a lot of people in, and they look out for each other. So they're able to build each other up in a sense.
I think it's always good, no matter who you are or what group you're part of, to be loving and supportive and engaging.
But I'm saying, do you think that came from them going through what they went through as a people?
Yeah, I think any group that's being persecuted, obviously, the natural inclination is to stay close
and build each other. But I'm saying that because
should do that. I mean, like,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, for us, I feel like that's the missing piece.
I think in the Black community, we have a great deal of dysfunction in the Black community.
Right.
I think we are taught and programmed to not trust one another. And I think there's a lot of drugs and alcohol and guns and bullets that are conveniently provided to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a part of the genocide against Black America. Black America is positioned to fail.
Right. You're almost set up for it.
You are absolutely set up.
You
know, I've always said they kill you in the courtroom, they kill you in the school, they kill you in the boardroom long before they kill you in the streets.
Right.
So
right.
I think what you see is, I think you see that we are not getting most of our communities a proper education.
Right.
And I think you're seeing that we are not getting access to capital that's not predatory in most cases. And you're not, you know, we are positioned to fail. And I think what we have to do in Black America is we have to do what a lot of other communities have done a phenomenal job at, is they have made education the number one priority in their community. And I don't think we have really given our all as Black Americans to make sure.
Absolutely not.
To make sure that education is the number one thing in our community.
Right.
And until we do what other successful communities have done, which is make education the number one thing in their community, we as Black America will not move to the level we should and can move to. What changed my life is that I was very fortunate that not only is my mother beautiful, she's brilliant. And even though she had me 17 days after her 17th birthday, and you would have to be really scared as a 17-year-old Black girl having a baby in 1961 in Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But we were fortunate. She ended up coming out here to L.A. Was a 2-week vacation, and we ended up staying here. And she ended up getting into UCLA. And she ended up getting her master's degree in cinema TV production at UCLA. And because she was at UCLA working on her master's degree, she was able to get a job at NBC.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. And so she was in television.
Yeah, giving tours at NBC, and then later publicity and marketing. And being at NBC and giving tours, I was able to go to work with her. And because I could not afford childcare, And as I waited for my mother to get off work, I was able to watch them tape The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Wow.
Sanford and Son with Red Fox and Chico and the Man with Freddie Prinze and the Flip Wilson Show and the Richard Pryor specials. And I watched them do, you know, George Burns specials. And I watched Brian Gumbel do the local news and Pat NBC and Pat Sajak. Brian Gumbel.
Oh, this is a kid.
Sportscaster. And Pat Sajak was the weatherman. And I was able to watch all of these people make television. But education is what changed the trajectory of our destiny and put us on a different parallel. What I found, you know, I recently went on the road. I was raising a little over $1 billion to buy some companies. And okay. I went to go speak to a couple of hundred, you know, fund managers who manage probably about $10, $15 trillion in capital. So these are the people you go to when you're raising capital, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to buy acquisitions, to make acquisitions, to buy companies. And what I found was that the brothers and the sisters were in the lobbies in uniforms checking me in. They were security. And there's nothing wrong right. with that. But when right. I went up the elevator to talk to the 15 plus trillion in capital to see if I could get them to put $1 billion with me on this particular go around, what I found is there was a lot of young white kids in their 20s and 30s who had wow. gone to really terrific schools. And I would ask them their background, and they had an education, and they had degrees in business, law degrees, business degrees, MBAs, and JDs from really good schools. And that was the difference from us being in the penthouse managing 20 or 30 billion in our 20s and 30s to being in the lobby.
Education.
And the only way I can get you out of the lobby, out of a uniform, and that's a noble profession if that's what you want to be, if that's what you want to do. But the only way I can get you out of that lobby and get you into the penthouse where you're making millions of dollars a year and, you know, and managing billions of dollars is education.
You hear that, people? Education.
And that there's no substitute. And there's right. nothing that's going to get you around that. And, you know, what I've always thought that we, as Black America, what we have to do is say, you know what? You know, whatever. It's 30, 40 million of us in America. What if only 10 million of us put in 10 bucks a month?
Right.
10 bucks a month, zap my credit card or my debit card or whatever it is.
Right.
10 million of us. That's 100 million a month.
Wow.
That's 1.2 billion a year.
Wow.
Okay, now 1.2 billion in, and, you know, God willing, 20 million of us do it. That's 200 million a month.
Wow.
That's 2.4 billion a year. And now check this out. So 2.4 billion a year. I'm graduating every Black kid in America through college, debt-free. So I'm
education.
Saying I got you.
Education.
Okay, I got you. So go ahead and I want because I want you to maximize your intellectual capital. And I want you to maximize your intellectual capital because that is how you're going to bring out the greatness in you. And
wow.
we, as Black people, we have those resources. We have that capability. We have the capital to do that. We have to make it the priority. Now, I had this epiphany. I would go vacation at the same spot, the same hotel, year after right. year for the holidays. And the same families would be at the same at this hotel at the same time. And we would be in the cabanas, you know, at the end, you know, looking out at the ocean. And one of the families, it was, I became, you know, great, really great conversations year after year. They were from, I'm from LA and they were from another part of the country. Her name, you know, Mrs. Weissman. And she and I became very friendly because I started talking to her. I noticed her husband had the markings on his arms.
Okay.
And he had been in the Holocaust.
Wow.
And I asked about it. We really developed a bond talking over the years. And one year she said to me, you know, I almost didn't make it back here this year to talk to you, to hang out with you. And I always enjoy hanging out with you. You know, she's like in her 80s.
Right.
And I said, why, what are you talking about? How come you didn't make it, almost make it back here? She says, well, I've been having problems with my heart. And nobody wanted to operate on this little old lady. And she said, everybody turned me down because they thought I was going to die on the operating table and they didn't want to open me up. So she said, everybody said, you know, no way I'm going to operate on this little old Jewish lady. She said, so my son said to me, well, mom, why don't you call Mike? You know, she goes, little Mikey? She said, yeah. She goes, your friend, little Mikey, who I used to make cookies and milk for?
Wow, he's a heart surgeon.
And she said, yeah, well, he's not so little anymore, mommy. He's like one of the world's greatest heart surgeons. And he
wow.
In the hospital.
Wow.
And so she said, so I called him up and I said, hey, little Mikey, I'm sorry to bother you, but this is Mrs. Weissman and I'm having a problem with my heart and they don't want to operate on this little old Jewish lady. Just wanted to see if you had any advice. And he said to her, I want you to email me your records right away. And so she said, no problem. And her son sends the records off to him. And he calls her back right away. And he says, I want you to get on the next plane smoking. You come to me. I'm gonna perform surgery on you tomorrow.
Wow.
She gets on the next plane. He does the surgery.
And she's on vacation.
And she lives. Her pipes are better than ours now.
Little Mikey does it again, baby.
Little Mikey does it again. And she's sitting there telling me that story. Pretty much brought me to tears. A, it's like you realize how precious life is.
Absolutely.
And it just showed me like how powerful education is. Thank God.
Absolutely.
Little Mikey realized his potential.
Yes.
Right? Little Mikey realizing his potential saved Mrs. Weissman. Little
Absolutely.
Mikey realizing his potential and not getting caught up in gangs or drugs
right.
or alcohol or going in and out of jail, but rather having an education is actually positioning little Mikey to save
lives right.
and save other lives, to find
right.
a cure for something that may take you out or your loved ones.
Right.
I think as a matter of national security, everybody should be educated to the fullest for free, just as a matter of national security, just for the
right.
quality of life.
Life, yeah.
I think as a matter of national security, it needs to be free because we don't have enough intellectual capital. And if you haven't maximized your potential, no
right.
disrespect, you become a liability.
Liability, yeah.
Because we're subsidizing you.
They're going to use it against you.
Well, we're subsidizing you because you haven't maximized your potential. And
right.
we need to invest in you.
Right.
To maximize your potential to be an asset.
And not a liability. And I love that you said that because I want to take it a step back further before I get sidetracked. You said something in the beginning and you said something now about education that clicked. I had an epiphany.
Yeah.
You said something in the beginning about you having one SUV, not being in the bling, not being in none of these things. You don't need a bunch of designer to, you know, to validate who you are. And then you went on to say that you feel like education is the key.
Education.
Now, yes. So for the last couple of, like last maybe like couple of years, I've really been in my head about what type of money I've spent on things. And I just had something recently come up where I had to put the culture first and I wanted my culture to understand. So even if you look at the election that just happened, they had to credit the African-American community for stepping up and coming out and voting this time. But if you look at these billion-dollar companies outside of media, we're talking fashion and watches and all these different brands and all this stuff. We make these people billions and billions of dollars that we go out here and risk our lives and do all these crazy things to get this capital. And then we go put it into these things because we feel like that it makes us better as people. So whoever it is, whatever brand you have to support, but you're basically taking your hard-earned money, things you risk your life for, your freedom, and you're pointing it to somebody's pocket for them to put their kids through school, the best schools, to set their kids up with trust funds and to be okay. But then you won't take that same capital, that same money to invest in yourself and your children so that you guys will have the best education. And that brings me to this point, because I just recently dropped the album and I had a song entitled The Almighty Black Dollar. I wanted my people and my culture to see that our dollar is almighty. You just said you said how many people to put $10 in?
$10 million of us. That's $100 million a month. That's $1.2 billion a year.
$1.2 billion a year. And how many kids did you say can go to college?
Pretty much take care of most of them. Pretty much at $2.4 billion a year, pretty much you take care of all the black kids in college.
All the black kids, like literally?
Yeah, like they're in school. I mean, you could take like $2.4 billion, you taking care of. And that's the other issue. You have a lot of black kids who are not really leaning in.
Right.
Because they don't think, they're like, why should I lean in?
Okay. Oh, but let me say this before you go. Why should I lean in is the same thing I said when people started talking about why should I vote? Because it matters. But it Every little bit matters.
That's right. But people, but a lot of black kids are thinking, why should I lean in? My family doesn't have the money to get me through college.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Got
so
it.
If
Got
you're
it.
Able to, it's a mental mindset if black kids know that my college is going to be paid for. Black America has put the money in for me.
Right.
And now I'm going to be taken care of. Black America has it. We don't need to be saved. We can save ourselves. And the thing about Black America, what we have to understand is don't work for your money. Let the money
let your work, money work for you.
And so what's happening is a lot of black people are getting pimped by money, and you got to pimp your money.
Right. We say pimp by money. Explain
that. You getting grinded down.
Okay.
Working 2-3 jobs a week. You can't. That's not sustainable. So you can make money. You have to take money and invest it. I'll tell you this. Last year, if you invested whatever you invested in, I'm going to call it $10,000. And I'm not saying everybody has $10,000. I'm just
using
for easy math. Okay. But if you invested $10,000 in 8 stocks last year, January 1 to December 31 of last year.
Eight stocks.
Okay. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, AT&T, Microsoft, and Disney. Those 8 stocks last year would have given you a 42% return on your money. So if you put it in January 1, 10 grand, you would have come back a year later, January 1, the following year, and it would have been $14,200. You would have made $4,200 for doing nothing.
Nothing. And that's why I wanted to talk about the power of the black dollar. When your mental is trained to, okay, I'm going to buy this because I'm gonna, some more is coming. I know how to get some more. It seems like to me it's hard to get somebody to look for the long haul and the slow, steady money because it is steady. And the immigrant mindset, to me, works better with that because immigrants that come here from another country and they won't spend a dime.
Well, they're investing, and they're seeing an economy that is the greatest economy in the world. This America is the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect. We have our flaws. We are the greatest country in the world. Nothing's perfect. We have the greatest economy. We have the greatest pathway to wealth. And you can invest and you have a financial system that is, you know, you don't have to worry about waking up one day and for the most part, your capital is stolen. So they're investing and they are being smart about that. We have to invest and we have to go to the banks. And it's very important to work with the banks to make sure you buy your home.
So work with the banks to make sure you buy your home.
Able to get a bank loan to buy your homes because that's now you're participating in the great appreciation of America, the great wealth appreciation, because now you have capital to help finance whatever it is, your retirement or the education of your children or your grandchildren. And you have to buy real estate and just understand you're buying it. And the goal is never to sell it. The goal is to pay it off and pass it on.
Okay, it's for generational wealth.
Yeah, to start creating generational wealth. Pay it off and pass it on.
Right.
And so, you know, when white people die, most of the time they get assets. When black people die, most of the time we get bills.
Bills. And that's if you can pay for the funeral.
Bills, right? So
you know what I'm saying? If you can pay for
it. And what I will say, always say that as black people, we don't have wealth. We have what I call, from time to time, decent cash flow. So you have black entertainers and athletes, they'll come along and they'll have a good 4 or 5 year run.
Okay.
And they may make, you know, 100 million or 200 million bucks in that 5 year run because they're hotter than hot. But that's not wealth. That's good cash flow. Wealth is when you have $3-4 billion and you $500-600 million a year off your $3-4 billion.
Talk that talk.
Okay, that's wealth. When
you talk that talk.
When you got $3 billion plus in cash investment, right, and it's making right. $600 million a year for you, and you're making over $2 million a day simply because you got out of bed and you have money right. working on behalf. Right. So that's wealth versus, hi, I got a good 10, 20 million a year coming in. That's right. cash flow. You got to get to wealth where you have right. billions and billions of dollars and dollars. The billion is invested and it's right. making 700 plus million a year for you.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
And I want to clarify that because that was the key part. You said not having just a couple of billion dollars, but the billion dollars, the couple of billion you have are invested.
To generate $700 million a year. Wow. You know, $600 million a year.
You're talking that talk right now. You got my seat warm over here. I'm like, my blood is boiling. I'm like, okay, it's the conversation I need to have.
Before you get that bling and before you buy this or you buy that, let's get to the $3 billion of what I call your foundational wealth. That's sitting there and it's invested. And now it doesn't matter what you do. Like every day you wake up, you make it a couple of million a day. Every day you wake up.
Doing nothing
because your money's invested. Now that's white wealth. There are plenty of white families in this country that have those types of investments and they are making literally billions every year off the billions they already have. That's what. Now, what we have as Black people, we don't have wealth, we have good cash flow. from time to time. You have a good five.
So how does one get from good cash flow to wealth?
You take
what's that path like?
Great question. You take that cash flow and you don't spend it. You invest it and you keep investing. And then one day you're going to look up, your investments are so vast that you're like, hey, I'm making 10, 20, 30 million a year off my investments. Now you start to breathe.
Okay.
Now you start to, so we should be saving our money, watching our pennies, but whatever you do, you're never going to change your trajectory until you invest, until you buy that house. And you beat up the bank on that interest rates. Always keep challenging them on
and now is a good time because the interest rates are low.
Interest rates are low. Like this is about you're as close to free money as you're gonna ever get.
Right.
Everybody should be buying their home and they should be cherishing their home and cherishing their community and investing in their communities. Mm. And you should be investing in long term in the stock market because you have one of the greatest economies and the best brands in the world and the best managers in the world. And if you look at the Forbes 400 list and the 400 richest people in this country, they are pretty much, their wealth is sitting in the stock market and it's somewhat in real estate, but a lot of them, they own large blocks of stock in some of the best brands in the world. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and AT&T and Microsoft and Disney are just some of the few.
And this is where that knowledge comes into play again. I just feel these are the conversations because just imagine how many black kids, even me, when I grew up, I thought if I had $1 million, I was rich. It was game over. Clear.
If you have $1 million, you broke as hell.
Right.
You are, bro.
Hold on, wait. Say that again. If you have $1 million, you what?
You are broke as hell. You are a broke Negro.
Damn.
Let me just be really clear. And I'm just going to be real clear with you because where you going with that? You're going to wake up one day and that's going to be gone.
Gone, right. Gone. Taxes, yeah. But what I'm saying is it's so important for people like yourself to spread that knowledge because we work hard. Like as a culture, we can make something out of nothing.
Yes.
But we have a glass ceiling because the people before us have laid it out. Okay, well, wealth is, you know, a couple cars, some nice jewelry, a nice place to stay, and you travel. And if you look at Instagram and how it's set up, you just seeing everybody's highlight reels, and it makes anybody that's an entrepreneur or somebody get to a certain point feel like if I don't have those things, I'm not successful. And I on the other hand, I'm like you, is like I'm going in these rooms, and when I come back and tell my friends and partners like about these conversations and this billion dollar mindset you have, it sounds so far fetched. It's like graduating college when you ain't even in elementary yet. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh my God, I don't even want to think like that. And to me, I just feel like we got to have these conversations because we have to break the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, we have to understand these things are possible and they're out there. And not only that, you have people that have achieved this and understand this like the back of their hand. And it's like, if we don't build generational wealth, like my grandfather didn't leave anything for my dad and my dad didn't leave. You know what I'm saying? My whole mission is to make sure that my kids are going to be good and they're set up in a way that they understand how things work and not what the general public thinks. Okay, they're my kids. They should have everything. No, that's not. Great education. You know, they should have a trust fund. They should have their properties that I've been invested in over the years. And they should have outlets and resources because going to those schools and being in those and being in that little community, they're going to have friends there that grow up and be bankers. They grow up and be real estate agents. They grow up and be all these different things that they're going to have in their community. And that's the thing that I'm trying to, you know, give to the culture, but it's hard because it's like it seems so far-fetched. And to hear you talk about it with so much certainty, I'm like, yo, I got to reevaluate how I'm thinking because it's like, you know, that's real. I want to wake up and I ain't got to get out of my bed either. You know, I'm going to roll over, put on my house shoes and check that bank statement and be like, well, you know what? Actually.
Exactly. You know? And that's very possible. And we have we can't have our HBCUs struggling.
Right. That's real. That's real.
Black America.
That's real.
That's on us. We need to invest. And by the way, it hasn't been done. I want to publicly thank Michael Bloomberg.
Okay.
Donated $100 million to educate Black medical students in this country. We, as Black Americans, we have to celebrate that. And thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Bloomberg. Shout out to Michael, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Hats off, brother.
Right? We have to thank folks. Like, that's real talk. Like, we as a society have to acknowledge the ones who are loving us and supporting us and showing us the way. And we have to lean in and say, look, we're not going to let Black people, we're not going to let the HBCUs struggle. And we're going to make sure that our schools and our communities as parents, yeah, that it may be a public school, but we have resources to enhance that public school. Right. You know, one thing I don't want our Black kids to do is to graduate from college and be a debt slave.
Right.
I don't want you to go. I don't want you to struggle to achieve your education. And I want you to get your master's, your PhD, because the more intelligent you are, the better we are. And if you are not, and if you are not a debt slave, then you are a true consumer.
So when you're an asset,
you're an asset, and you're a true consumer. Because when you get, how are you going to get that job? And you're not worried about your student loan. You're actually now a consumer. You're going to go get that house. You're going to get that washer dryer. You're going to get that house up. The entire economy has a solid foundation. And what I would love to see is that happen worldwide. And if we can have that worldwide, all that intellectual capital is working together in symphony, and we are able to achieve and eradicate the things that destroy us every day.
Right. We're building that
human capital.
You're right. You're building that intellectual capital because you're being educated. That means that you're bringing up everything around you. So it's less violence, it's less drugs, it's less fuckery, because now everybody's coming up with you.
Everybody's coming up with you. You're able to eliminate that racism, that sexism, that ageism. You're able to eradicate the drug abuse, the alcohol abuse, the child abuse. You're eradicating all of the demons and all of the evils so we can achieve a slice of heaven right here on earth. And I believe that is really, for me, that is really the true human test of why we're here. And when we achieve that oneness, that one human oneness, then we are more like God, and we're living more like in God's image. And you will start to see a lot of the evils and the demons go away when we love each other like you are truly my brother. You are truly my sister, and I don't care about your skin color or your religion.
Let me elaborate on that further, and I don't got to call any names. The reason I know you speak the truth, my brother, because I've seen so many people in the position of power try to draw a clear line of separation, because that's what's going to keep us demonized.
That's right.
It's divide and conquer. It's put them over there and we over here, and we're going to let them have all this turmoil and just take themselves out.
That's right.
Because they can't function.
That's right.
They can't function. They don't know how to, you know, to live amongst each other. They don't know how to uplift each other. They should be over there. And the more that happens, the farther behind we get. So when you hear systemic racism, you hear the wealth gap, all those things have been created, and they're not getting any better because we're not building ourselves up. And I swear, like, it's so crazy we talking about this, because I say it all the time with these young guys that come out here, and they come out of these ghettos and these places, and they get out here and they start making money and they start, you know, building a company, and all of a sudden now the people depending on them. And then you still can fall victim to being killed by one of your own over straight up jealousy, but you was on the verge of being that person that can uplift people around you, and they immediately take you out. So the cycle has to start all the way back over again, and it has nothing to do with education. It's like the heart of us as a people is like, we're fighters, we want to win, but if that clear line of separation is drawn, and we over here and that goes on, it's like, it's too many liabilities and not enough assets. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so many liabilities, you know?
And so, and that black on black crime speaks to our own self-hatred.
Absolutely.
And that anger and that frustration. And
absolutely.
The only thing that can eradicate that is education, because it gives you hope, a pathway to success. Your success is my success.
Success, yes.
Just like Mrs. Weissman's, Mikey's success was Mrs. Weissman's.
Right, right.
I am here to position you to succeed. I am sharing this information because I want you to do better than me.
Wow.
Okay. Because your success will only help me. I don't want to see people not realize their fullest potential. You may have the cure for what's going to take me out.
Right. So we need it all.
I want you to be the best of the best. Everybody has greatness in them. Everybody, if you are alive and above ground, you have greatness.
You have greatness
in you.
The words of Les Brown, baby. That's the words of Les Brown. I know it. I listen to it every morning.
But you have it. And I love Les Brown. I love Les.
I love him.
But you have greatness in you. Have to unleash it and not do anything that stands in the way of it.
And chime in on that. I know you're absolutely right, because as a youngster, I had to, like, I grew up in single wide trailer, small and everything, but my sister was always very book smart. Like, she's brilliant when it comes to books and understanding, reading. And I was just like, I can't get into that at the time because I was in the streets trying to figure it out and take care of my mother. But the one thing I did do that was the right thing, and the reason why I know you speak the truth, is I took the little money that I had and helped put my sister through school. And she became an RN, and then she went on to do other things. So she's in the medical field. And, you know, she's always been proud of her. You know, her brother's the rap superstar and the entrepreneur and all that. But when this COVID thing hit and she was on the front line saving lives, and she was telling me these stories at the end of the day, like, okay, I had to save this many people and that many people, and this happened and that happened. And when my mother got sick, it just, her mentality, the way she went about it. And I just sat there and was like, I thought I was the star. She is clearly the superstar. She is the one. She is, I ain't saved no lives today. I'm quite sure if I call her, she saved a few. But to me, that made me feel so real, because, like, you're right, it's the education. It's the fact that she can go in there and do what she loves to do, which is help people. But if I wasn't in a position to help her get through college so that she can have that, she wouldn't be able to save lives. And I can only imagine how many lives she saved just for the simple fact that she went to college. That's and we talk all the time. And she tells me, brother, you wouldn't believe today I came in there. You know, we had this many people die and this many people live and da da da. And she's explaining it to me. And I'm just sitting there like, you are amazing.
That's right.
Like, you are truly amazing. And that education. And what I'm getting out of this conversation, what you're telling me is, it's about the education. That's a start.
Yeah.
And once we get educated, we start to get this income and we start to build this wealth, we have to invest.
That's right. Invest. And you have to and love. One second. Hey, honey, hey guys, my kids are in the pool.
Yeah, I already know.
Love is the way. Peace is the way. Education is the way. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. We can't love enough. We can't hug enough. We can't give enough. We can't lean in enough. We must really embrace and make sure we extend our family to the world.
Right. And I love that lean in comment that you're making. And before I let you go,
yes,
I want them to hear this one more time.
Yes.
If we get a million people.
If we got 10 million black folks.
10 million black folks. Listen, black folks.
Descended.
Everybody else too.
By the way, white folks should buy that. I was just wanting to say to black America.
Right, no, I'm listening. Yeah, like 10 million black folks.
But how much is inside of our own, like 10 million black folks sending in 10 bucks a month is 100 million a month.
Okay.
That's one
a month.
A month. That's 1.2 billion a year.
Listen,
1.2
if we,
billion
if we don't get what the almighty black dollar is right here, people, if we don't figure this out,
yes,
we're setting ourselves back another 100 years, because if we can afford all this Louis Vuitton and this Gucci and all these designer clothes and all these things that we don't need, we can invest.
And what's happening is, I'll say, you know, you can say Black Lives Matter all you want.
Right.
You can bitch, moan, and complain all you want. Donate and vote.
Wow. Wow.
Donate and vote. Because when you donate to something like education, okay, then you are moving your community and your culture to a more successful place, a better place. When you vote, you are protecting your community, because you're putting politicians in place to make sure that you have a pathway to success. And so you need to vote always, even in the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
Vote on everything, on every position. Because every position matters, and it impacts the quality of your life. And you need to donate to your community and to your politicians. You know, we lost the great Queen Stacey Abrams as governor of Georgia because Black America, quite frankly, we didn't lean in and donate money to her. When she was running for governor of Georgia, I called her up and I said, you may not really know me. My name is Byron Allen and I'm in LA. I would like for you to come to Los Angeles because there are a lot of folks who like you. And she came here and I partnered with Jeffrey Katzenberg and Steven Spielberg, and we were her second biggest fundraiser for her to run for governor. Wow. What I really want Black America to do is for Black America to become our own political super PAC. If we say to Black America, I need 2 million of you to send in 10 bucks to Stacey Abrams, she's got $20 million, and now she's the governor of Georgia, and she didn't lose by 1.4%. Mm-hmm. Our brother Andrew Gillum, he lost governor of Florida by 0.4%. Mm-hmm. So if we say to 2 million, 3 million Black people, send in 10 bucks, that's $30 million. He has enough to get in. And what we're going to have to do in 2022 is make sure, you know, you get somebody like a Val Demings, maybe, as governor of Florida in 22 in Florida. Stacey Abrams, governor of Georgia. And now you've positioned Kamala Harris to become the first female president of the United States.
Yes.
Because she has support in key states around the country. We, as Black people, have to think this way. Marathon, not a sprint, long-term.
There you go.
And we have to take our resources and we have to pool them together and make them a priority that we lean in on our politicians, we lean in on our education. And then what you will find is that we will start to achieve banks that have national charters to lend to African-American families for home ownerships, business, lines of credits, because everybody has cash flow issues, and help the Black community have access to capital that's not predatory. So it's politicians, so we have policies that don't work against us. It's us leaning in on education, and that's the number one priority. And then making sure that we have a strong alignment with the financial community, so we have access to capital that allows us to invest in ourselves, our businesses, and position ourselves for long-term generational success.
Well said, my brother. Well said. That might have been the best part of the interview. It was like, listen, Byron, I've heard of you, brother. I've watched you in some type of way. I feel like we got to become friends somewhere because I feel like you have a lot of what I need. And so we'll make that happen offline. But speaking on behalf of the culture and Black men that look up to other Black men because they are solid and they have integrity, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you for stopping by the Recession Podcast and dropping these gems and jewels. The almighty Black dollar. There it is. Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Recession Podcast by Jeezy, a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.